Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings is not just for the young. Over and over, we say it again. That is something that we can depend on. It's not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We're at New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And this evening we have a pastor, Dawn Mixon, from out of
that are trumpets also on every side of all the camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 19, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpet and brake the pitchers, and held lamps in their hands, in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands, to blow with all. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Verse 22, and the 300 blew the trumpet, and the Lord said, every man swore against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host said to Bathsheba and Zeritha, and to the border of Abel Meloah, unto Tabeth. So I want to take for a subject on tonight, they already knew you have victory. They already know that you have victory. This particular text is one of my favorite texts because here God is bringing his children out of slavery and out of bondage from under the hands of the Midianites. And if you look at the latter part of this particular text, you'll find that God wants to deliver them, but he tells Gideon, I'm going to help you deliver the people. He says, but I can't deliver the people because you have too many with you. He said, because there's so many with you, I don't want them to think that they did it on their own strength. Or I don't want them to think they got out of the situation that they're in because of themselves. He said, there's too many with you. And so he says to them, he says, listen, I want you to tell those who were here that those who are afraid, those who are too scared to go into battle, those I want you to go ahead and send home. And I think there was about 2,000 of them that decided to leave. Now, the one thing you have to understand is anytime you're getting ready to go into battle or get into a fight, you don't need to have a scaredy cat with you. You have to make sure that you have somebody that is going to be on your side, someone that is ready to do battle, because the one thing to have somebody who's fearful with you in battle, their lives in jeopardy, but they put those who are surrounding them in jeopardy because the first sign of anything that spooks them is going to cause them to react. And so you've got to have a level head. And so there were those who left, and that was a lot of them that left, but they left them about with 10,000 more that were still there. And God said, there are still too many that are with you. I need you to cut that down. He says, I want you to take them by the water, and I'm going to tell you what to do. And the Lord says to them, he says, all of those that kneel down at the water and begin to drink, you put them on one side. And he says, the other ones that lap up the water like a dog, those I want you to put to another side. And the Bible says that there were about 300 men that lapped the water out of their hand like a dog. And the reason why God had them do that because he wanted to take those who are always going to be aware. Anytime you decide to drink water at the river and you're on your knees drinking, you're not being watchful because you're being concerned about being refreshed yourself. But those who were able to lap the water within their hands were able not only to be refreshed, but they were also to be able to look around in their surroundings. And anytime the enemy is on attack, you have to always be aware of the unexpected. And so the Bible says there was about 300 men that lapped the water like a dog. And so God tells him, those 300 men, Gideon, I'm going to help you take the land. So let's get down to verse 11. He says to Gideon, he says, even though you're feeling this way, because I can understand as a leader, when a lot of times we think the blessing is in the numbers, when the truth of the matter is, The blessing is already there when God is already with you. When God is with you, it outnumbers all of those that may be around you. The Bible says that there, the Midianites had so many people on their side that the camels could not be numbered. And so when you think about the camels that could not be numbered, those who were carrying or walking with the camels or riding the camels, they could not be numbered either. And here you've got 300 men who are going to take out a bunch of people that cannot even be numbered. And I can imagine the fear of Gideon. How am I going to do that because I don't have the numbers? I don't even want to talk to those who are in leadership who think because their ministry is small, they think it's unsuccessful. It is not the size of your ministry. It is the quality. It is the ministry. It's the life of living holiness. And when God is with you, you don't have to worry about anything else. You have everything that you need, and God will allow you to take over the land and take over your area. So I want to share that with you and encourage you on tonight. For those who are about to throw in the towel, for those pastors and those leaders who are about to give up, God said, if I'm with you, I've got you. And so here the Bible says that Gideon is listening to God, and he says, God says, I want you to go into the enemy's camp and hear what they are saying. And so a lot of times we hear a lot of rumors, and oftentimes the rumors are negative, but this particular rumor that is going on in the camp of the Midianites, the Bible says that he goes down, he says, if you're scared, I want you to take your servant with you. And so the Bible says they went down to the camp of their enemy, and it just so happens that God always sets things up so wonderful that he sends them to the tent of a dreamer. And God said, when you hear what they say, it's going to strengthen your hand. In other words, it's going to strengthen your faith. And the Bible says that the man in the tent began to tell his dream about the barley coming into the tent of the Midianites. And so as he talked about it, the man that was with him was there to interpret what this was. He said, this is nothing more than the sword of Gideon about to overtake us. See, let me tell you something about your enemy. Your enemy knows when you're blessed. The people around you know when you're blessed. But it's amazing that they hear this at this particular time. He's got little in his hand. He's got very few people with him, but God wants him to hear what his enemy has to say. And see, sometimes your enemy lets you know that you are victorious even when you don't feel like it. And so here he hears this, and the Bible says that when Gideon hears this, that he began to worship. Listen, I don't have to see the battle before or win the battle. As long as I know that God has given me the faith and makes me understand that I am a victorious winner, that I am going to, every battle that I have come through or that I'm going through, if he can get me through one thing, he can get me through another. So he strengthens Gideon. And so when he strengthens Gideon, that caused Gideon to go back and talk to those who were in his team. And he set up a structure and a plan of how they are going to be victorious with just 300 men. The significance of this particular text that I love is that the Bible says he sets them up in groups of 100. And there are 300 men. And he says to them, what I do, you do. And it's very important, those who are following leadership, trust what the leader has, God has the leader, to say to you. Trust and believe that if you are under good leadership, God is going to give them direction even when you don't see what the vision is or what's going to happen. Because you follow what I do. He tells them, he said, I want each one of you to get a trumpet in your hand and a pitcher in the other. And they separate them around the camp of the Midianites. And he said, when I tell you, when you hear me blow the trumpet, you do likewise. Oh, my God, this is something awesome here because when we listen or we look at this particular text, I'm noticing something in this text, those who are listening on this line. It's amazing to me that Gideon goes to battle with a trumpet and pitchers. But anybody that knows if you're going through a battle, you should have a weapon some way. See, the only time you don't take a weapon to a battle is when you already know that you've already won it. And you already know that God is going to make you victorious. He has a trumpet in one hand and he has a pitcher in another. How in the world are you supposed to win a victory with no weapon? I'm trying to help somebody in here who has lost their weapon, who feels as if they have nothing else. They're throwing in the towel. God said, I don't need you to have a weapon, but the weapon is God. And I'm kind of trying to help somebody in here today that is getting an understanding today that you may not have nothing, but what you have is enough. And so the Bible says that Gideon surrounds the camp. And he does something that is so awesome. He does something that's so awesome in this text. I love it because Elder Clay, what he does is he begins to blow the trumpet. And when he blows the trumpet, then the other 200 groups begin to blow the trumpet. But what they do is, because of the way he has it set up in the camp, he brings it into a surround sound. Okay, the first thing, a lot of times we hear Sony, you got Boss, you have Bose speakers, you have all these different speakers. The purpose of those surround sounds is to make those things sound larger than what they are. So before there was Bose and before there was Sony, before there were all these different speakers, the first surround sound came from Gideon, and it caused those who were listening that were in the area, it made it seem like there were more of them than there was of the enemy. And so they began to get scared, and they began to say, the sword of Gideon and the sword of the Lord. I'm trying to help somebody in here today that the enemy doesn't realize that your sound is greater, your praise is greater, and even though you may be going through a struggle in life, God said, I'm going to put a surround sound that every demon in hell that tries to come against you is going to hear the sound, and they're going to have to become subject to the sound. And so the Bible says that they blew the trumpet, they broke the pitchers, and they began to go forth. No knife, no sword, no anything, no bow, no arrow, none of those things that they have in their hand. And the enemy became scared to the point where they started killing each other. Oh, my God. The weapon that has been formed for you is not going to prosper. The weapon that is being used against you, God is trying to let you know tonight that whatever the enemy has formed against you is going to end up turning on the enemy. So every word of gossip, every word that has come against you, for those who are going through in ministry, going through things in life, and those who are going through things where you're trying to be successful and you feel like you should be further than where you are in your life, you've got to understand that you can only be as far as your faith allows you to see. And if God gives you a promise, you've got to realize that whatever promise that God gives you, he's going to extend your days for you to enjoy what he's promised you. So I want to help somebody in here tonight who feels as if they don't have enough. For that one who feels as if there is nothing left for them, God is going to sustain you to win every battle. He's going to sustain you to go through what you're going through. If you take note of anything in this particular text, Gideon was a man that was the least of the tribe of Israel. And they didn't even understand why God would use somebody like Gideon. And for all of you that people don't know who you are, they don't know your name, you seem as if you're beneath everybody else, God, those are the ones that God wants to use. So what? You are not on television. You're not on in the pulpit. God said, I want to use you, because God can use any vessel that he decides to give oil to. And so I want to share with you on tonight, for those who feel as if it is not your season, I came to let you know that it may not be your season. It may not even be your time, but God will turn it around so that it will be your turn. It's just like the woman who came to Jesus, whose daughter was vexed with a demon. She came to Jesus and asked Jesus, she says, my daughter's been vexed with a demon, and I need you to deliver my daughter. And God said, it is not good for me to give the children's bread to the dog. kindness to bless her. He says to her, I did not come for you, but I come for the lost tribe of Israel. This is what I have to do. You're asking me to come out of what I'm supposed to do just to bless you. There's going to be a man by the name of Saul, whose name will turn to Paul, that will connect the Gentiles and give a covenant relationship. But since you cannot wait for your blessing, God said, I'm going to turn around in your favor and make it your turn. And for all of those who are here or listening online, I pray that there's somebody in here who was just about to give up to hear this word today, to let you know that in this particular text, if God can do it in Judges, he can definitely do it in 2015. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so when I look at all of that is going on in this particular text, there's so much that we can share with you concerning what God is doing in this particular text. So I'm going to open up the floor for anybody that wants to share with us concerning this text. If there's some other word that God may have given you, if there's questions that you may have, because even though we don't have new Bible, there is no new Bible, there are fresh revelations that God gives us. And so I need everybody to know tonight that you already know you have the victory. In spite of what the enemy is saying to you, he tries to make it seem as if you don't have victory, but he knows in his own hand that he's already lost this battle. So if anybody wants to share tonight, or anybody who has anything that they want to say concerning this text, or anything concerning victory, or those who are just need to know that they're going to be overcomers, I'm opening the floor for you tonight.
Amen. Praise God. I have a little testimony. I've been going through a little something here with housing. And I can honestly say God has been on my behalf, and I've been diligent in the word. And I pray him every day and worshiping him as always. And I can't believe things that I used to do. I said, well, why, God, how come I was that person that always gave to all? And people reminded me what I did, but because I did so much, I'm just like saying I forgot. And today, people are saying, come stay with me. You don't have to pay nothing. Wait until you get the money together. I said, what? Oh. I said, but God, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And I just had to put that out there. And then today, another one. And when they said, my cup runneth over, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
Amen.
Amen. No, sis, that this is something that God is setting up for a blessing, because if somebody is able to say, okay, you can stay with me, and God's opening the doors for that, can you imagine the door he will open for you that will sustain you for the rest of your life? You cannot give unto God's people and he does not bless you back. It's a law of exchange. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The world says it this way. What goes around comes around. Whatever seeds that you plant, know that God is going to give that back in a harvest of blessings for you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else that wants to share tonight?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, I like to say, Pastor Dawn, I like what you said about in the text, when all that he had was a pitcher and a trumpet. To go into that was good. That is so key, because our trumpet is our voices. And when you said praising God, you know, we praise God, and like you always say, it confuses the enemy. It confuses him, and not only that, it lifts our spirits as we praise him. And like you said, if he did it before, he'll do it again. And I know that not only me, but all of us on this line or whoever has been through, know that when we praise God, we forget about the situation, and knowing that God will bring us out and bring us through. This was a powerful word. Powerful word.
Yeah. And in order for you to be victorious over something, you have to go through something.
Yes.
You can never get victory over battles that have never been won or battles that have never existed. So a lot of times we look at situations. When I look at this particular text, God did all the stuff that he did, put this pressure on Gideon just so that he would get the glory.
Amen.
You know, how many people do you know can take 300 men and overtake an army that is countless?
Right.
So I start thinking about the countless things that you have gone through in life, and you're still standing. And the enemy has not been able to take you out. So if you've been able to get over one thing, surely God can get you over another thing. And the reason why I love God is that, we go through some things in life, but when you finish going through what you've gone through in life, everybody has to look at this and say, this could be nothing but God's glory. This could be nobody could have gotten me out of this. But God's glory. And so you have to understand, it increases and strengthens the hand of Gideon, and then it lets his enemy know not to mess with them.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So when you're going through some things, I know it's difficult because you can't see no further than where you are.
Amen.
But you've got to trust God when you can't see him, when you can't trace him, when it seems like he ain't around, when all your friends walk away, when the money is low. See, there's no reason to trust God if everything's all right.
You're talking, Pastor. Amen.
You know, why do I need to trust God if my money is full? My bank account is full. Everybody, I'm walking in health. What do I need to trust God for? But when you have to trust him, when there is limited resources and there's back around, and you have no way of trying to figure out where food is coming from, where rent is coming from, where the kids.
Oh my God!
What all of this is coming for? What makes it so awesome is when it comes out of nowhere.
Yes, amen.
When it comes out of nowhere, and if he can put stars into space out of nowhere, he used a blank canvas, and he created. All that he's created. And the one thing is that what people talk about is there a God. Everything, if you go to Genesis, you'll find that he's still existing because the stars are still up there. The moon and the sun is still in their proper place. The water only goes as far as God allows it to go. And he's divided waters from waters. That's why you got the rain coming from the sky and water and wells of water coming from the ground. He is still God. And we've got to realize that if he can watch over all of the animals, if he can take care of the animal kingdom, surely he can take care of what he's breathed into.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. So is there anybody else who wants to share, give a testimony, or say anything else that would bless the heart of those who are on the line tonight?
Amen.
So I'd like to piggyback on that also. Just talking when you were mentioning in terms of how God separated all of those men that were going out to war. This is a spiritual warfare that we're going through. To drink the water, those that had to bend down on their knees to lap up water with both hands, meaning that they had to put their guns down. And if they put their guns down in warfare, that means they were depending on God as opposed to looking out for the enemy. So, you know, I kind of like it when you mentioned in terms of bend down lapping the water with their hands, and that's how God separated the army.
We tend to
try to do things ourselves as opposed to knowing if God is with us, and if God is going to take us through whatever we're going through, then we have to keep our eyes on knowing that God is going to get us through that. God is going to take us through what we're going through.
Absolutely. You have to always. As a servant of God, or anytime you're going to do battle, you have to know that you have to always be on guard. The worst thing to have is somebody in an army who has not been trained.
Wow.
You have to have some type of training. That's why before they send them out, they have to go through basic training. You got to at least know the basics before you get out there and go out. As Elder Clay says, we are under spiritual attack. We are under the body of Christ is under spiritual attack. When we look at the society today, we are dealing with a spiritual attack. But these things must come in order for the word of God to be fulfilled. I can't stress out for what this one is doing, or what the government passed, or what we agree to, what we don't agree to. I have to stay focused on what God says. His word does not change or alter because we showed up in whatever year we showed up. It doesn't matter if you were born in 1967 or 1982. His word still remains the same. It's foundational. It's basic training. It's basic. The word is basic of what, and when we look at it, his word has never altered or changed.
Yeah.
You've never seen where God has gone and spoke to somebody and said, okay, now we're going to change this because we are in the 20th century. No, his word was foundational. And anytime you got to break up the foundation, then that means there was something wrong with it. But whenever God made what he made, he said, and it was good. When he made the land, and he said, and he made the trees, the birds, and it was good. And so if it's good, ain't nothing wrong with it. Like what they often say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're not going to be in a place where people are always going to agree. One thing I found out, no matter how I may feel emotionally or what I may think, if his word doesn't back it up, my feelings and my emotions mean nothing.
Wow.
What does God's word say?
Mm-hmm.
So I have to stand on the word of God. How am I ever going to? It's amazing to me because we only want to trust God in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't think God knows what he's doing, then we try to alter it and fix it ourselves. That's one of the greatest mistakes that we often make. If Gideon did not follow the structure of what God had told him, he trusted and believed it. And then not only that, he says, listen, I'm going to strengthen your hand. I'm going to let you hear what your enemy is saying about you. He didn't let him go hear what the enemy was saying negative. He went to let them hear what the enemy was saying that was so positive that he's already won the victory that caused it to ignite in Gideon and say, look, I got this. And so
when
you hear that word of faith, you may haven't heard from God in months or years. And all of a sudden, out of somebody sends a prophetic word to your life. And the thing that you've been waiting for years, he speaks into your life to strengthen your faith. Because you've got to understand, our faith gets shaken often. Let me take you back to Abraham and Sarah. These two, their faith got so shaken to the point where they decided to help God out and decided to get Hagar, their slave, to help God out for what he had promised them. When you get to the place where you try to help God out, that's when we make a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for people to wait on God. The waiting is very difficult because we're in a society that wants to wait for nothing. And so when you have to wait for something, we get very antsy and we feel as if it's not going to be accomplished because in the waiting, sometimes you don't have nothing but quietness. And you don't
Right. That's so true.
See, that's the difficult thing
because
we don't hear nothing. We don't hear nothing good and we don't hear nothing bad. And when we don't hear anything, our mind begins to play tricks on us.
Yes.
Automatically, we think the negative instead of hanging on the word of the promise of God and say, okay, this is what God promised me. I'm going to wait until it is accomplished. No, it gives our minds to sit idle, and we start conjuring up. And this is what the enemy tries to do. It starts conjuring up and trying to use our own minds against us, our own feelings and emotions against us. And when he does that, then we feel that we cannot be victorious because I haven't heard anything from God. You know? So even in relationships with individuals, we feel the same way. If we haven't heard anything, we had a fallout with someone and we haven't heard from them in months, we think that we have no more friendship.
That's
so true.
Because
I haven't heard anything. Not realizing that you may have missed phone calls, you missed emails, whatever may have happened, and we already think of the worst before we think of better.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So we have to stand on what we know. Because faith is not
Amen.
Seeing. Faith is believing. It's on what you know.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to share tonight? Anybody have any questions?
Amen. All mics are on. All mics are on.
I want y'all to take the opportunity tonight because while those who may be fearful of asking a question or, may want to say something, you have the opportunity. But while you're thinking of gathering your thoughts together, I want us to really look at ourselves and really believe and trust God. For the next step in our lives.
Amen.
Because Amen. There are so many things that have been promised to us that we have not received.
Yeah.
And when we feel as if God is not going to do a thing for us, I want to talk to the one that wants to go back because their faith has been shaken because they've been waiting too long.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you don't want to do is go back where you came from.
Amen.
Where you've been delivered
Amen.
From a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that the thing you came from that God delivered you from is worse than waiting on God.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Amen.
Because if you really think back where you came from, it didn't, you know, a lot of people who got delivered, it didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
That took a process, a time. What was drugs, alcohol, name, whatever whatever your thing was, you couldn't wait till God delivered you. And when he freed you, see, because we're dealing with the battles of our mind. We're dealing with the battles of the things that we go through in life that we're addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where we said, I'll never do that again. I'm never going back to that again. And then when things don't work out the way we thought they should have worked out, all of a sudden we find ourselves feeling that was a place of comfort. It's
wow.
a bad situation when you think that drugs or alcohol or premarital sex, whatever it may be, is a comfort to you. And you
Amen.
Know how long it took you to get out of what you were in. The one thing you don't want to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
And whether you realize it or not, those things are a place of bondage. When you look at Israel always found themselves in trouble. They were constantly in bondage. Sometimes it was 7 years. Sometimes it was 18 years. Sometimes it was 20 years or more. Why? Because they were disobedient to God or they turned away from God to serve other gods. God said, I'll never have another God before me. And so we've got to realize that God knows what he's doing. And since God knows what he's doing, you got to trust and believe that what he's about to do for you is something that is so great. See, the problem is it's that waiting period.
Yeah.
That waiting period will cause so many things. But let me tell you something. It's just like my daughter just gave birth to my beautiful grandson, Gabriel. And as she was going through the process of the waiting period, she had to go through some things within her body that altered her and changed her, so it brought frustration to her because all she wanted to do was make sure that this baby was good, but she most of all wanted to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was dealing with the frustration of what she was going through. And I'm trying to help somebody here tonight that has is pregnant with a thing. You're pregnant with what God has promised you, and you
wow.
want it to be manifested. it. You want God, you want to see everything that God promised you. And all you can deal with the frustration of knowing that you are promised, but you don't see the manifestation of it. I know God promised you a house. I know he promised you a car. Those are mere materialistic things. But when you start realizing that when I search and I seek after God and his righteousness, all of those other things are going to be fulfilled. Those things are just things that God is going to add on. Those are just benefits of God. But when you're pregnant spiritually with the things of God that is going to bless somebody else, know this, that you can't go through what you're going through, and it's not just a deliverance for you, but that thing is to deliver somebody else of what they're in.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you're going to have to go through the frustration of wanting to get it out, and you want to you go through the frustration of the altering of your body and your physical body to the point where you can't do anything but sit there and wait. But let me tell you something. When that baby comes out, when that spiritual baby comes out, you don't worry about the pain no more. You don't worry about the physical things that you've gone through. You don't worry about the swollen ankles. You don't worry about the swollen legs. All you're looking at is that your promise is in your hand.
Yes, amen.
And when you look at the promises that it's in your hands, it lets you know that you are victorious in what you have. I'm here to encourage somebody tonight that is waiting to hold that baby, waiting to hold that promise, waiting to hold that victory, waiting to hold and be the overcomer of what God said you're going to be. I'm just believing God for those who are listening tonight. For whatever struggle you're going through, I hear a word from God tonight to say that your struggle is over.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. And so those who really, really need God and want to hear from God, I need you to just trust God and believe that what that one promise you heard is enough to carry you until the next step that God shows you the manifestation of his glory. And then if somebody else want to jump in there.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
But somebody needs to hear from you. Somebody needs to know, you know, because a lot of times, you know, there are people who are trying to get their deliverance, and a lot of times people push them back and make them feel bad about where the place that they're in. But they never tell you how long it took for them to get delivered. They never told you how long they had to wait. It is a process, and when God delivers you and sets you free, he's going to do it on his time, and whenever his time is the right time. I'm here to tell somebody, don't give up, because you're closer than you were yesterday. You're closer than you were last year. You're closer than you were 2 years ago. So this is not the time to give up. This is the time to wait on God, because if you're the next one in line for the blessing, don't be concerned about what somebody else has. You may not have as much time as you do.
My God.
And so a lot of times we get upset because it seems like everybody is getting blessed before you. No, if I haven't received it yet, that means God is extending my days to receive it, because he's not going to let his promise go out and it comes back to his glory.
Amen.
And set off what it's been set out to do. And so a promise is a promise. God has a promise. He keeps his promises even when we don't.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You know,
praise
God. That's the wonderful thing about God. Anybody else want to share tonight?
Glory to God. Awesome word.
Amen. Y'all got about little less than 10 minutes. Somebody needs to be blessed tonight. And just share something with somebody. And you know, a lot of times we think as small as a testimony may be, it may not mean anything to anybody, but you never know who's on the line, who's listening, and that one little situation is enough to turn their situation around. Because I don't want nobody to go on this line and leave this line the same way they got here. I want somebody to go back out off this line and say, I believe because of the word of God or the shared testimony of someone on tonight.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Know that your weapons that you have, you know, a lot of times we ready to fight back, because that's what you do in battles, even if it's a war of words.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a war of words, we always feel like we have to say something. It is in human nature. To say something to you, you got to say something back in response or retaliation. But I realized something. The best way to retaliate is to keep quiet.
Amen.
Because your enemy does not know what you're thinking. He only knows what you're saying.
That's
and
good.
So if I keep my mouth closed, oh, my God.
That's good.
They sang a song of the clay when I was growing up. They sang a song that said, if you hold your peace, And let the Lord fight your battles.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you, sometimes we get to the place where it's right at the tip of our lip. We're ready to say something, but God allows it to go right back in your mouth and say, no, I got this right here. You ain't got to say
that's
anything.
Right.
Because I'm going
say
to
word,
get everything out of
amen.
It. Because if you say something, then it means that you think that your enemy retaliated off of what you said, when the truth of the matter is they retaliated and they left and they backed up. Because what they thought you had more than what you really had. And a lot of times we don't realize that. That's why in this particular text, the Midianites started killing one another.
Mm-hmm.
That God set it up that they would fight themselves. The only ones that had swords were their enemies.
That's right.
I'm trying to tell somebody tonight that your enemy is going to use his weapon against his own self.
Right, praise God.
You and every word that has been said against you, because, you know, we got to realize that our words have power. And a lot of times I have to be careful with what I speak over the lives of people, whether it be good or whether it be bad, because when I realize that I have anointed words that come out of my mouth, I have to be careful what I say, because it could be somebody's blessing or their destruction.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I realize that I don't want to take those words.
Mm-hmm.
And those words end up coming against me. So,
amen.
So know the seeds that you plant. Know the seeds that you plant. They come back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run over.
My God.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That is so true. Like the germs, this tongue that we have is like a two-edged sword. We can tear someone
absolutely.
Down, or we can build them up.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on this witness is how the relationship that we have with God, because God is a builder. God is about kingdom building, not tearing down.
Amen.
Not tearing down.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's all right, I would like to have prayer. For those who may be listening, and can I even offer Christ to somebody tonight that might be listening? If you're there and you don't know God, I just want you to pray this prayer with me tonight, because I believe that God can save you, and you can make your altar anywhere you are.
Amen.
And you don't have to come to church to make your altar. God can save you wherever you are. And so those who are already refreshed again, just repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you.
Thank you.
For giving us the gift. Of salvation.
Of salvation.
Our Father.
Our Father.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For sending your Son.
For sending your Son.
For saving me.
For saving me.
I ask Jesus.
I ask Jesus.
To come into my heart.
To come into my heart.
I receive the gift.
I receive
the gift.
Of salvation.
Of salvation.
This very night.
This very night.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Father God, we thank you tonight for all those who are listening on this line. I pray, oh God, that those who have heard your word today, I pray that they leave this line knowing that, God, you are able to deliver that truth and make alive. I pray, oh God, for those who are facing trials and tribulations, God, you will open up the door that they can see the who got on the line. I pray that God, her soul, that they
yes.
her, can she stay with them, but she's going to come to a point where you'll bless her so great that she'll
bless
ask
her.
Somebody to come and stay with her. I pray, oh God, tonight that you bless her with what she needs and that, God, you will make her station, that she won't have to worry about her next door to be open, that, God,
yes.
you will bless her soul to the point that she doesn't have to worry about her next step in life. And so, God, we thank you for all those who are listening on this line. I pray, oh God, that the blessings of the Lord shall overshadow them, that you will give those who are going through trial and tribulation, give them peace in the midst of their storm. Let them
yes,
know
God.
That no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper, but God,
yes.
they'll realize that God greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world on tonight. And so, God, I pray on today that somebody was encouraged for this word tonight, and that
yes,
you will bless
Lord.
Them.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Mr. Nixon, we thank you so much for such a powerful word and always.
Bless you, Elder Clay.
We have been blessed on this end, and we pray that those of you who are listening by phone and by internet have been blessed as well. What a mighty word. What a mighty word. All
mm-hmm.
we have to do is be still and let God fight our battles. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray that whatever situation that you're going through, the victory has already been won. They already know that you have the victory. So we thank you for that word. Amen. We're going
Amen.
To end right now. We remember, please keep in mind that we love you, but God loves you most. And tell me what you're doing.
Cultivation of a life that's still worthwhile. And
weekends are not just for the young.